Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And October is basically done, and the Leafs had a pretty good road trip going 3-1-1, and we'll talk about that. But first, we want to welcome our new followers to Facebook and our YouTube channel.
Yes, so welcome to our Facebook page, Sharon DeLorme, Chrissy Daly, and Mario Vieira. Thank you for following us. And for our YouTube, we have a lot of new subscribers to our channel, which is great. So we have Jonathan Broughton, Mark Bell, Paul Aloysius, I hope I said that right, Norm Rosalind, Jeremy Landry, Karen Deep Sandu, and Perry Hellion.
Yeah, so it's great. Thank you so much. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. And for anyone who hasn't yet subscribed, you'll want to do that soon. Our handle for all of our social media channels, X, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads is at LTL1917. And as always, we post a lot of great league content. But in a few weeks, we'll be coming to you from the NHL Global Series in Stockholm, Sweden. So that's going to be from November 15th to the 19th. So be sure to follow us and you will keep up to date on everything Leafs.
And we also want to thank Adam Kelly, the associate manager at corporate sales for Yeti Canada, for sending us these beautiful Yeti tumblers. Yay. Thank you very much, Adam.
Yeah.
And before we get into the show, we are excited to announce a new partnership with Bet Online. You can find all the latest NHL game day bets as well as props and futures. Currently, Bet Online has the Leafs at +950 to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so the last of the major pro sports leagues kicks off this week, and Bet Online is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With the NHL, MLB, postseason, NFL, and college football in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering, news, odds, trends, and predictions.
Yes, get everything NBA and, of course, NHL at your fingertips with both the desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online is where the game starts. So please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it. And now it's time to get into the show. And we're going to start off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And for a third period segment, our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, joins us once again to talk about the Leafs' start to the season. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, so my good this week is John Tavares, captain consistency. So yeah, he's had a great start to the season, and I think a lot of William Nylander's success is coming from our captain, John Tavares. So because on the draw, on taking face-off win percentage, he's at 63.2% now, which is third in the NHL. So if you win the face-off, you have the puck, and that helps everybody on the ice. He had a 7-point streak going, but that ended last night in Nashville. So, but still, obviously, it's great. And then with his goal versus the Stars, that moved him into the top 30 all-time goal scoring, and he passed former Leafs center and alumni Bill Derlago, Billy D. I remember that. That was a huge combination with Rick Vive and Bill Derlago there. So they used to have pairings there too back in the 80s. Right? They used to have pairs. But so that's great. So, and one thing, I was reading an article from The Athletic, and I like his comment because everybody keeps saying how he's slowing down and you know, the contract, we all knew it wasn't going to, like, towards the end of it, it wasn't going to be as good. But, I mean, he seems to be doing just fine. And the way, what he said was he wants to be as effective as he was at any point in his career, which goes back to the captain consistency. So the game has changed and evolved, and he wants to go out there and still make a difference in the game in a lot of different ways. So he's always looking to change up his game a little bit or improve in different areas. One thing he worked on with the Leafs skating coach and is obviously to stay a little bit quicker. And he's noticed just that little fraction. He was saying how it's a fraction of a difference for him. So with younger guys like Knies and even Matthews and Marner, they're gonna see, let's say, bigger strides because obviously they're younger and they still have room to grow a lot. Whereas he's already gone past that point, being a little bit older, and he's learning new things into his game. So that's how he's approaching it, which I thought was kind of cool. So yeah, well, John Tavares, that's my good.
What I love about him is that he knows what he is. Like, he knows what his strengths are, and he is, you know, he's working on those things, and he's also working to improve his skating, which is, you know, says something. He is so meticulous and careful with what he puts into his body and how he treats his body. But I just, that's what I think that is the best about him. He's so consistent because he doesn't try to, you know, be more than what he is. And he just focuses on the things that he does well, and he continues to be consistently good at those things. So, you know, he actually, you know, as our team leader, captain, the young guys can learn a lot from him in how seriously he takes his craft and his longevity. So,
Sure. They said that actually in the article as well, just before the season started, the night before opening night, and he was the last one off the ice with Fraser Minton and Matthew Knies. Mm-hmm. He stayed out there and he worked with them. And because he wants to, it's that evolution of the game, seeing that next players coming into the game, and he's learning from them too. He just keeps adding and fine tuning his game, taking care of his body, like you're saying. So it's it's just great that he doesn't get talked about enough for a Leaf captain, I don't think, as previous captains who
I agree.
But.
All right. So for my good, I picked Morgan Rielly. So for however slow his start was last season, and then, of course, with the injury, he basically has, you know, with the heroics he had in the playoffs, has kind of just continued from there and has had an amazing start to the season. Even despite, you know, kind of, you know, the demotion, if you want to call it that, to the second power play, you know, he's taken all of that in stride, and he has started off the season at a 7-point clip so far, 2 goals, 5 assists. One of those goals came on the second power play unit as a power play goal as well. And he's just been so good. Again, now with all the defensemen going down, his minutes are climbing up again. He is definitely the backbone of our D, and he still is, regardless of whether Klingberg, you know, has been brought on for certain specific things. He is still the go-to, and he is like the mirror of John Tavares on the defense, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, no, Morgan Rielly is captain-like material. He's the longest-serving Leaf, and he's been on a heater lately. It's unbelievable how he's skating. Maybe he's getting it from his fiance. What's her name? I'm forgetting her name
Tessa
already.
Tessa
Virtue. Okay. Yeah, I should have remembered that. But maybe he got some extra help from her. But I mean, he's always been a great skater, but I think it's just the start of the season, but he just seems to be, when you were saying it's like a demotion, going down to the second power play, I think, like, he's always said, like, whatever's good for the team. Like, he said that, I think, just before the playoffs last year. Like, he's a team guy, and whatever's good for the team is good for him. And he just does his job out there. And he's been, like, from the from the playoffs last year. He's just picked right up from that because he was on fire last year during the playoffs too. Mm-hmm. And we definitely need him now. With these injuries, it's going to be interesting on the D. Hopefully Liljegren won't be out too long. And they said McCabe shouldn't be out too long, but still, we definitely need him with the minutes that he does.
Okay. So let's move to the bad. Okay. I think we share the same bad here.
Yeah. So the bad is the penalty kill. It is early. But I mean, after Saturday night's game, we dropped to 19th in the league on the PK. Last season overall, and again, it's a small sample size, but last season we were 12th. So when you look at that, we're probably going to be in around the same, but I don't know. We've lost a lot of penalty killers that we had from mm-hmm. last season, like Kerfoot and Sam Lafferty, who was a victim of the cap. We probably would have.
And Justin Hall. Yes.
I was saving that for you. Justin Hall. Yep.
Yeah. So whatever warts he had, he was definitely a good penalty killer.
Yeah. And Zach Aston-Reese had some time on there. So Keith said, like, when the media was asking him, he said, it's going to take some time. That's all he said to it. But I don't know. I guess I was looking into it a little bit more, and the main defense pairings has been like Brody and Giordano on the PK. And we know Matthews and Marner, I guess it's just a start to that, trying that out to give Matthews some time. But I think, actually, I was looking on naturalstattrick.com, and I guess the issue has come, like, I'll go back to last night, first of all. Matthew mm-hmm. Nyes was on for both of the the penalty kill goals last night. I don't know that. Do you think it's a good idea to have Matthew Nyes as on the PK right now?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's generally pretty decent defensively. I think that is something they obviously want him to grow into. And when you've got a rookie like that, he's going to make some mistakes. But from what I've seen of him so far in the small sample we've seen over the playoffs and now, he doesn't tend to make the same mistakes twice. So
yeah,
I think that, like Keith said, if with regards to especially, you know, a kid like Nyes, definitely it's a work in progress. And it's actually good for him to make mistakes. I mean, it's not great on the score sheet, but there's video, there's stuff to work on with him if he makes errors, right? Yeah. So obviously that's something they want him to grow into, because his game is well suited towards that type of role, right? And they've lost a lot of key guys, especially in that bottom six, which is where he's now playing, that have, you know, can fulfill that, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm just thinking that they could put Yarncroke more so than.
Well, I mean, Yarncroke has penalty killed, but not as minutes, much, I guess.
Yeah, the minutes aren't there. That's what I was looking at. And then I also think part of the problem right now is that David Kampf is not doing well on the draw.
He hasn't been as good this year with regards to that. And normally he's a real stalwart there on the
right
dot.
Right now he's only at 41.7%.
Yeah, which. I don't think we've never seen him that low.
No. Last year, again, because that's a small sample size, but for the whole season last year, he was at 51%.
Yeah.
So that's huge. So, yeah. So that's our bad. Hopefully, Dean Chynoweth, hopefully I pronounced that right, hit our assistant coach, and Mike Van Ryn, who's the in charge of the defense. Hopefully, they can get this working right. But then it's going to be tough with these injuries on defense too. So we're going to see what happens there.
Yeah.
All right. And moving on to the ugly then, we're both the same with the ugly. I just picked this out because I had a few, I'm forgetting when this happened, if it was last season or the season before, with the too many men penalty or the bench minors. And we had two last night versus the Predators. And
bit of a regression.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago, actually, that it was
I think it was two.
Worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just don't want it to come back, basically. So that's why we're highlighting it as the ugly for now. So, yeah. So anyway, so let's go on to the positive now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
All right. So coming in at number three, the aforementioned Matthew Nyes, but we are actually going to highlight a good thing that he did. And this was his first NHL regular season goal versus the Lightning. What a snipe. He tends to really like to play against these guys. Yeah. So Max Domi was speeding down the right side, got the pass, cross ice over to Nyes, who just ripped it past Tampa goaltender Jonas Johansson. So yes, it was a beautiful goal. A couple of really nice connections between those two. And because of that, that line has basically stayed since that game. But it was definitely a beautiful goal. And he just well deserved.
Yeah, it was his first of two on the night as well, sort of thing. So he scored the game tying goal as well. So yeah, no, it was good to finally see some chemistry. I'm sure Sheldon Keefe was happy with that, with Max Domi and Matthew Nyes as a pairing for a third line. And yeah, let's hope that it, very quietly, Max Domi has a 4-game point streak going. So we'll hopefully it just continues like that. Yeah. All right. So going on to number two is William Nylander. We haven't talked that much about Willie. We will eventually. We're saving that for Mike for our third period segment. But yeah, he's also definitely on a heater. He's got an 8-game point streak going, and we picked his goal versus the Capitals, which made it 3-0 in the second period of that game. I couldn't believe, like, Matthews sent a very long stretch pass down the ice, and Willie was already just motoring down the wing, and he drove himself towards the net and got the puck past Darcy Kemper of the Capitals. So yeah, that was a great goal. I just love the power that I saw in like he was holding off the Capitals player, and he was not going to be denied driving to the net. So
no, he's definitely been showing that he's worth some dollars.
Yeah. We won't get into the dollars part.
We're going to get into that too much.
We're going to enjoy his play right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And of course, coming in at number one is Morgan Rielly versus the Dallas Stars. So Rielly finished off a beautiful goal that was set up by Willie Nylander, of course. It was Riley's second goal in as many games, and with the Leafs down to 5D for basically the whole game, he played over 26 minutes versus the Stars and versus Nashville. He played over 27 minutes, and for that, he is deserving of the top spot in our highlight reel. Yeah, he's like we said, he has basically, you know, picked up right where he left off in the playoffs, and he is, getting himself in some good spots, and he's taking the shots, which is good to see.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just doing what I don't know. I'm thinking he might have that season that, if he keeps going, stays healthy, knock on wood, he might have a season like he did, a few years back with, I think he had like 19 goals, or he had quite a few 20 goal season. Anyways, he just needs to keep doing what he's doing and stay healthy. And yeah. And it's good. I just love his skating, basically. When you see him flying down that wing, and he just keeps on going. And then, and obviously getting the puck in the net is great too, from the D, which we haven't had.
We don't get enough of that.
Yeah.
Contribution from a defenseman. Yeah. And we also want to give some love to Mark Giordano for scoring his first goal of the season, as he joins Tim Horton and Alan Stanley as the only 40-year-old defenseman in the Maple Leafs history to score a goal. So yes, definitely he's deserving of some love. I think he was a little shocked and happily surprised with that.
Yeah, loved his smile after the goal. Yeah.
All right, so now it's time for another great third period segment with our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello.
All right. Okay, so the Leafs' start to the season has been pretty good, with a record of 5 wins and 2 losses going into the game versus Nashville. And to talk about it for our third period segment, we welcome back to the show, Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello.
So Mike covers the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter and is a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. He does a podcast with hockeybuzz.com and he is co-host of Off the Post Radio and the Leafs Convo. Mike also covers the Buffalo Sabres as a lead writer for the Hockey News. Welcome to the show again, Mike.
Ladies, always a pleasure. And hopefully the fact that I have the Titanic up here in the corner of my screen does not.
Oh, yes, I see that.
Yeah, it does not prevent the what happens on this show today. So no iceberg. Thank you.
No, definitely not. All right. We're going to get right into it and get the number one topic out of the way when it comes. Yes. Yeah. So we want to know what Mike thinks about William Nylander's start to the season and how it affects the contract negotiations, if at all. So what do you think about Willie there, Mike? We know you're a big fan of his.
Well, okay. The funny thing is I'm a big fan of his talent.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of when he plays up to his abilities, which are ample. I mean, I've watched William Nylander since 2015 when he started when he came over from Sweden with the Marlies and, you know, covered the Marlies and covered the Leafs. I gotta admit, though,
he's at another level right now.
I came up with this little game, you know, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's Dr. Nylander and Mr. Willie.
Yeah.
And Dr. Nylander is the great one. Is the one who's like, you know, he's curing the stick. He's laying hands on, you know, but Mr. Willie is, you know, like Mr. Hyde. Mr. Willie always shows up at the most inopportune times. Now, I have to say, he's showing up less and less. And this year, he hasn't shown up yet. But now, do I think that's because it's a money drive and it's a salary drive? Of course I do. Of course I do. Now, you know, I mean, he is playing fantastic. He is, you know, scoring at a great pace. He's on a pace for probably 100 points, 45 goals, just perfect to walk away in free agency. And that's the thing. It's right now, it's like he's setting himself up for a big payday. The Leafs are negotiating with him. He has told his agent, Lewis Gross, to continue talks with the Leafs. But there's been no progress. We have heard from, you know, all the insiders, Chris Johnston, Elliot Friedman, Pierre LeBrun, that Willie wants to stay in Toronto. Yeah, but there's a caveat. He wants to get paid over $10 million. And one and the other probably can't happen because there's an overlap of a year from Marner and Tavares to Matthews and Nylander. The cap's going to go up, but it's not going to go up that much where they can afford four players making over $10 million. So something's got to give. And I'm fearful right now that what's going to give is that they're not going to offer him 10, that the most that they'll offer him is 8 years. It's say nine and a half. And he's going to say no. And he's going to go someplace else. And I mean,
would he want to, who can pay him the 10, like to give him the 10 million? It's teams
not
like,
a contender.
Yeah.
Not
it's going to be like, if he wants to go to Anaheim and wear his flip flops, and Chicago, basically, I think they can do it too. If he wants to go to
San Jose,
I guess if he wants to be not in the show so much, he wants his cake and eat it too.
He wants to be paid the highest paid, you know, the highest paid that he can be paid, and he wants to play in Toronto. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's not possible. So, I mean, the way I calculated it, the way I looked, and I'm not exactly a math genius. In fact, that was my worst subject in college, in high school. But the max he can get on a contract, a free agent contract elsewhere is 7 years. He would have to, now, if he's paid, say nine and a half. That's 38, that's $76 million. For that to be paid over 7 years, he'd have to make over 10 to probably 10 and a half. I don't think he's getting offered 10 and a half by anywhere else. So, you know, but it's the benchmark. I think he wants to hit the 10. Well, you're not going to hit the 10. You may hit 10 on AAV, like in the first 6 years of the deal, but they can't afford to pay him $10 million. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where they are right now. If he keeps pouring on the goals, it's going to get tougher and tougher. I don't think he's going to get traded. I think the opportunity to trade him was in the summer.
Yeah,
that's gone. Now he's playing too well. They're not going to get enough value for him on the open market before the deadline. It's either they sign him or he's walking away in free agency.
It certainly doesn't help things that Marner has kind of gotten off to a slow start right now as mm-hmm. well, as far as the Leafs side of things go, because, you know, he's outplaying Mitch at the moment. Now, Mitch usually pours it on second half of the season. So we'll see what happens there. And that's also when Mr. Willie tends to show up a little bit. So I guess, you know, as much as we're loving watching Nylander play at this level and seeing what he can do, I do kind of hope that Mr. Willie shows up a little bit, but maybe doesn't hang around for as long during parts of the season. So that it can help us be able to keep him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure how much what he's doing in the season really matters. I think optically to fans and maybe in terms of media pressure, it does. But I think everybody knows what William Nylander is. I think everybody, he's been in the league for, 6 years, 7 years. I mean, he's pretty much, teams out there who are willing to sign him in free agency next summer, it's sort of like Phil Kessel. He's not a cornerstone player. He is not he's a member of the core group here because he is a top of the line complementary player, but he's not a number one center. They tried him as a number three center and he couldn't even play that during the preseason. He's a second line or a first line winger and he's one of the best in the league. But Mikko Rantanen's making $9.5 million. Mark Stone is making $9.5 million. What have both of those guys done? They've won Stanley Cups. William Nylander has not won a Stanley Cup, and he's a really good player, but I think the benchmark on him is it starts with a 9. It's not an 8-figure deal. And if he's pushing for 9 figures, I think he's going to get it someplace else.
I guess the only one that's making 10 is Panarin, right? The Rangers.
McCain was $10 million before his contract.
And even with that's Panarin, we're seeing that he's not really worth that, right?
No, and he's the only one I believe that is a winger that is making over 10. Mm-hmm. Kaprizov is making 9.5, so or 9.75. Right. Yeah, the ones that are making the big money are the centers: MacKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, Kopitar. Yeah. I mean, centers rule. Centers and top pair defensemen. If Nylander wants to make $10 million, then learn how to play up the middle. But
Well, and again, like that was the talk of training camp, right? But they moved off that awfully quick.
Yeah.
As well, right? So obviously, we see where his skills are.
Well, and I think they moved off of it because it's preseason, so it didn't really matter that much, but. On a couple defensive plays, he was, he was out of position or he was behind the play. He's just not he grew up as a center. His dad was a center.
Yeah.
But he's not, he's not an NHL center. He is a top flight scoring winger. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to get paid top flight money being a top flight winger.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the goaltending now. So Joseph Woll has been great in the 4 games he's played with a 9.61 save percentage. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, Ilya Samsonov, not so great at 8.31 before the game versus Nashville. So do you think there's a bit of a goalie controversy brewing here? I mean, it is supposed to be a tandem situation, and Samsonov was supposed to be our 1A. And also, what about Samsonov's comments that he wasn't feeling that great about himself? Do you think that the Leafs' decision to kind of, throw him back in and have him play his way through it is the best way to get his confidence back and feeling good again?
Well, I'll let you know Sunday after this game, because if he, we'll use the word mared instead of the word that he used. obviously the onus is going to swing right back on Joseph. Well, I mean, granted, it's seven games into the season. Joseph Walls played great in three of the four. And I don't think he played badly against Chicago. His defense gave up a shorthanded breakaway in a breakaway to Corey Perry. And I think it was a shorthanded 2-on-1. So he really wasn't bad in that game. But Samsonov has not been good. He was not good against Montreal. He was okay against Minnesota. He gave up two long goals against Florida. And then he gave up three goals on four shots against Tampa. Yeah, he's playing like crap. I mean, does that mean he's not redeemable? No, he can bounce back. I think he's, you know, he's a quality goaltender. But you look at the long term on this. Joseph Walls got one more year left on a contract at league minimum, $775,000. And you can thank Kyle Dubas for signing him to that 3-year extension. And if he turns out to be the number one and they let Samsonov walk in free agency after this year, then you're probably signing a backup pretty cheap and you're spending very little money on your goaltending for 1 year before you have to make a decision. And I think he's an RFA after that. So they still have some control over him. I'm not jumping to conclusions, but I've liked Wall as a long-term prospect for a couple of years. It was always injury. It wasn't ability. It was availability. Mm-hmm. And he finally, it, you know, after he had that shoulder surgery and he came back last year and he played wonderfully for the Marlies and he played wonderfully down the stretch with Samsonov and Murray both having the injury problems last year and then stepping in the playoffs. I mean, I think the kid has confidence. He's not a kid anymore. He's 25 years old. So, you know, he was drafted in the same draft as Auston Matthews. So, you know, he's not a kid, but he doesn't have a lot of experience in the NHL. But I think in a way, all that time and all that recuperation and all that sort of study of how to be a good goaltender and the calm demeanor that he has, these are all things that I think are in his favor. Samson, you know, ideally they want a tandem here. They want two goaltenders playing 40 games. And I think in the end, that's what it's going to end up being. But right now, Wall is stealing the job and Samsonov has to sort of steal it back now.
Yeah, and you're right. It's two more years that Wall has on the contract, and then he's an RFA. So it's from cap friendly. I'm just looking at $766,000. It's like, wow, that's a that's really helpful for the cap, that's for sure. Because now apparently if somebody gets injured, we might be playing with not as many, like we won't have enough to fill the fill a roster. Basically, we'll have to play one man short, apparently, with McCabe's injury or something like that.
But the news that came out today of the severity of the injury, it was better than expected. If had he gone on LTIR, then I think the scenario that you just laid out was completely correct. But he may not be out longer than a week.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, that's good.
Yeah. All right. If they put him on regular IR, then they're not going into LTIR. And right now, they're maxed out on LTIR. They've got so much money on there that they can't squeeze any, you know, there's no more juice in that lemon.
Yeah. So I guess, do you think there's a controversy there with the goaltending going back to the, like, or is it I've heard that, I guess because like Samsonov obviously he went to arbitration. Mm-hmm. So that might've maybe hurt his feelings a little bit and Talk that up, he, remember.
You know, I mean, this is a business. I mean, you know, there's no room for hurt feelings. If you want, the Leafs, I think, you know, when they signed him to a 1-year deal last year and he was an RFA because he was not qualified by Washington, the whole plan was bring him in. He's the backup to Murray. If Murray fails or Murray gets hurt, which he did, then he's our disaster backup. And we've got another year. If he has a good year, we go to arbitration, which they did, and then we see what he does. And if he plays great, then we can revisit signing him to a long-term contract. There's no way with all the players that they have to sign over the next couple of years, namely the core four, that they were going to sign Samsonov to a long-term extension. They were going to play this out. And that's why, you know, he's going to have to bounce back pretty quickly to get his numbers to a position where the Leafs are going to be oh yeah, we got to sign this guy.
Offering,
They like him. They think he's a good guy. They think he's a pretty decent goaltender. But the prospect of having Wall as the guy who takes over the job next year at less than $1 million, and then you going out and signing maybe a backup for a couple million, and you're spending less than $3 million on a starting on your starting tandem. That's a prospect that just, you know, Brad Treliving has got to be going, you know, he's got to be salivating at that potential.
All right. So, all right, we'll leave the goaltending now and we'll move on to Tyler Bertuzzi here. I don't know. It's, I guess for now, he's on the line now with Nylander and Tavares. And he's actually looked better this week, I thought anyways, with the games versus the Stars and the Capitals. But, and it's early, but I looked it up. He's still getting about the same amount of ice time, just over 16 minutes on average per game.
Right.
I mean, it's early in the season still. And, but most of us and everybody were thinking that he was like going to be a fit, right? With Matthews and Marner, like automatically that it was just going to work. So I don't know. What do you think is like, is there a problem or do you think it's going to work eventually that he just needs time or like, or is it, I guess, is it maybe because the adjustment factor, let's just say, like with playing with star players like Matthews and Marner, they're saying like there's tendencies and you kind of got to, the guy on the left side, like Michael Bunting and Zach Hyman, they fit in just fine. Like it seemed quite quickly, but is there something, do you think it's going to work out eventually or?
I think that him playing with Tavares and Nylander is a better fit. I mean, if you look at the history and you just mentioned the two most successful guys, and Yarncroke is not a bad fit as well. The players that have fit on the left side with Matthews and Marner are complementary guys. Michael Bunting is not like a superstar player. He goes in the corners. He was a pain in the ass. He got the puck. He dug it out and he got it to the talented guys. Bertuzzi, there's one puck. Marner is passing it to Matthews. And Matthews is shooting it. And, you know, Bertuzzi is a guy who also needs the puck. And with Tavares and Nylander, I think he'll get it every once in a while, probably more than he would get it with Matthews and Marner. And that's not to say that Matthews and Marner are selfish. No, they're just two of the best players in the league. So they need the puck. So, it was worth taking a look and seeing if it would work out. I don't think it really did in, you know, the five or six games that they tried it. Now they've moved him onto the second line. This is not a Nick Ritchie situation where all of a sudden he's going to end up in the Marlies. You know, he's a good he's a good player. I just think he needs to find the right complement. And I think Tavares and Nylander is probably a better fit for Bertuzzi. Sheldon Keefe said that he played his best game in Dallas. That's encouraging. So yeah, and honestly, I think if right now Yarncroke is a good sort of standby, dependable veteran that you could plug in with Matthews and Marner and it works. I think there's a better chance that by halfway mark of the season, either Max Domi, who sort of is like Bunting, you know, he's a pain in the butt. He's a good playmaker. His problem is defensively, he's not very good. Or Matthew Knies. And I don't know if they want to give Knies that much ice time that quickly, but he has really, you know, you've seen flashes of what he could be. And I can just imagine what he could be playing on that line with Matthews and Marner.
Well, that kind of brings us to our next question, because finally Keith found some chemistry for the third line with Knies, Kampf, and Domi. Mm-hmm. But the fourth line is still kind of a work in progress. So,
do you
think they're going to call up somebody like Bobby McMahon or Alex Steeves, or you know, who do you think would be a fit there on the fourth line to give it a little bit more of an identity? Like we know Nick Robertson is actually lighting it up and doing really well in the AHL right now, but he's not a fourth line guy.
No.
So, but he is tied for the lead with six points in five games with the Marlies. So, so that's good, but he's not really a fit in that fourth line role.
My issue right now with the fourth line is that Ryan Reeves is a boat anchor.
I was going to say that. It's like how we... Yeah.
You know, he's, I mean, and I, we first saw, I think we all first saw this when they signed. I mean, okay, there's rightful criticism of that signing, but I said it's variable. They can, if it's that big of a, that big of an issue, they can send him down to the Marlies and bury almost all of that 1.35. I think it's 1.35 million. But it hasn't gotten to that point now. Now they want him around. They like him as a, you know, as a character guy. You know, they want him as a sort of nuclear missile and, you know, break glass in case, you know, if somebody tries to take a run at Marner or something like that, then, you know, here, what are you going to have for lunch? How about two knuckle sandwiches from Ryan Reeves? But, I don't know how long they can get away with that. I don't know how, because the fourth line really with him on there is, I mean, it's sort of, it's just, it's a liability. I mean, Noah Gregor is a fine depth forward. He's speedy. He's never, you know, he's sort of like Zach Aston Reese. He's not a great finisher. Mm-hmm. He'll probably end up scoring 10 goals. You know, he scored the first goal of the year now for the Leafs. Now, probably the second one will be probably at the 40 game mark. I like Pontus Holmberg. I think he's he's got potential, and you know, he played well in a fourth line role last year. I mean, the name you mentioned, Bobby McMahon, is somebody that I was shocked that he got through waivers. It was really surprising. And at the American League level, I mean, he's really good. Last year, I think he played 10 games, had no points, but he was physical, and I think Brad Treliving likes physical players. So can I see him up with the Leafs at some point during the year? Sure. I mean, the problem is right now they can't call up any of these guys because of the cap. But when somebody gets injured, you know, if somebody in the top nine gets injured, Nick Robertson probably is going to get the call up. But I am hopeful that they keep him down with the Marlies for 30 to 40 games and just let him play, let him score, let him stay healthy. He's making a lot of progress. You know, I think he's improving his value, whether it's to the Leafs or to somebody else. I think the Leafs still envision him as a player at the NHL level. It's just he's got to stay healthy. But this fourth line, really, I mean, when we get to the playoffs, I just don't know. Like, do you foresee Ryan Reeves in this lineup when the playoffs come around? I don't.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
Depending on the game, obviously, the type of
game
that it is, but...
If you're playing Matthew Tkachuk and you want somebody to go out and beat the crap out of him, sure. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I guess you can't send him down, obviously, to the Marlies, right? Like that doesn't make, this is a dumb question. I'm not sure though. By sending the player down, that doesn't remove him from the cap, right? Like that if he passes through waivers, which he probably would, because nobody would want to pick up his $3 million or
the cap hits 1.35. The max that you can bury in the AHL is, I think, one and a quarter or 1.125. So you can bury almost most of that contract. But the problem is the player, you know, I mean, I don't think Ryan Reeves will be very pleased that he's getting sent down to the mark, but it might be the reality. If they don't play him, or if he's playing 6 minutes a night and he's a liability out there, he needs to be effective.
Because in the playoffs, like you're saying, like the fourth line is supposed to be an energy line, right? Like you need that energy line, not necessarily with the fists and the fighting, but just getting in there and mucking it up in the corners, getting the puck out, causing some scrambles in front of the net so that you get it going, sort of thing, for the rest of the guys for the next shift to come on and pick up on that, right? And I don't know that, like you're saying, Ryan Reeves, like he just doesn't have that, like obviously the speed too, and not, I don't know. It doesn't seem great.
And honestly, in a playoff scenario, and you know, we're 6 months away from that. But in a playoff scenario, I mean, one thing that I've noticed with this team, I don't particularly like the fact that they're using Matthews and Marner as a tandem as penalty killers. They like it because it's more ice time, and they can they can create offensively and basically be a counter attack threat. But do you really want Austin Matthews blocking shots in a playoff scenario?
Yeah, but he blocks a lot of shots anyways.
Yeah.
Even last year, he blocked a lot of shots. I don't know. Personally, I look forward to penalty kills now, actually. So love watching them on there together.
Well, I mean, and I don't know what their percentage is. They may be.
They're 14th in the league right now. I think it's 70. Yeah.
So they're middle of the pack. Yeah. You know, they lost Kerfoot. They lost two or three. You know, Achari was a penalty killer. O'Reilly at the end of the year was a penalty killer. So they lost a lot of quality guys in terms of the PK. And I have a feeling in a playoff scenario that third forward on that fourth line is going to be a guy who's a defensive guy killing penalties. I mean, right now it's Marner and Yarncroak and Matthews, and, you know, they're mixing in other people here, and they're using Matthew Nyes. I don't know about that. I mean, you know, he, on one of the power play goals, it was early on, I think against Chicago, he was out of position. You know, it's a learning process, but I just think it's a luxury that you may not be able to afford to have Ryan Reeves in your lineup when it comes down at the end of the season.
Yeah, there aren't too many opportunities to just go flex, you know, like that seems to be when he gets the most rise out of the crowd and stuff, you know, flexing his muscles, playing to the crowd. But, you know, when it comes down to it, when the chips are down and it's important, you know, not many opportunities to showboat, which is what he seems to be best at now.
Mm. One last question, actually, just about the ice time, like you were saying with Matthews and Marner being on the PK, like they're apparently, like, I don't know if they're still the top two in the NHL, like in terms of ice time, getting time on ice. Mm. Like, you know, with Keith still seems dependent on those two players and the four players when it comes, like now that he's found this third line, I guess it's slowly changing where he's giving Domi and Nyes some extra ice time. But like, the fact that they're getting that penalty killing, like, do you think like, is there a concern, I guess, where Matthews and Marner, like, you don't want them getting burnt out obviously before the playoffs, right? Like you need to manage that a little bit better, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, top ice time, 5-on-5, top power play, and now second or top PK, it's too much.
You have to
sort of, you know, you know Tavares is never going to kill penalties. He's not a quick enough player to be a penalty killer. Nylander is, you know, you need to be able to play good defense to be a penalty killer, and he doesn't do that. So yeah, I mean, I think they have to find other options eventually to sort of, you know, it's not like you're not going to conserve them and have them play 17 minutes. I mean, this is not, but you do, you know, that was Mike Babcock did. And that was infuriating to Leaf fans when he was limiting 21-year-old Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. Well, we got to save them for what? They're young kids. You know, now they're 25, 26 years old. I mean, you know, you, not to say that they're old, but you, there are limits. Just like there's limits with Morgan Riley. I mean, what is one of the reasons they went out and got John Klingberg? Because John Klingberg is a good point guy in the power play. And Morgan Riley's importance for this team is more 5-on-5 than anything, because he's the best 5-on-5 defenseman and puck carrier that they have. And now with McCabe out, his minutes will be up to 25, 26, 27 minutes a night. You can't do that all year.
No.
Yeah, I guess like for Mitch and Austin, like their sweet spot's got to be around the 20-minute mark, right? Like, not the 23, 24.
Like, no, that's obsessive. That's nuts.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for you today, Mike. As always, you did not disappoint, and we thank Mike again for being our guest today. So check out Mike's blog, everybody, and podcast on hockeybuzz.com and the Leafs Convo. And if you want to see what the Sabres are up to, you can check out Mike's articles on the Hockey News as well. So also, if you don't follow him on Twitter, make sure you do. His handle there is at Mike in Buffalo. So thanks again, Mike, and we will talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure. Mike. Thanks.
Thanks.
Jello.
All right. So thanks again to Mike for joining us. And now we're just going to run through the upcoming couple of weeks of the Leafs schedule. After facing the Kings on Halloween night, they're going to be heading to Boston, who are also, they're doing really well. I'm quite surprised.
Yeah, sadly.
So that's on Thursday night. And then the Leafs come back home to start a 5-game homestand. They'll face the Sabres on Saturday night and then another match with the Lightning the following Monday.
And the homestand will continue after that versus the Senators next Wednesday, and then the Hall of Fame game versus Calgary Flames on Friday, November 10th. And the final game of this homestand on the Saturday night versus Vancouver, it's a rare back-to-back at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that game versus the Lightning is probably going to be quite competitive, let's just say. I think they're probably going to be pissed losing in overtime as they did to like at home. So they're probably going to want to show up real good on that night. And then obviously the Bruins game coming up on Thursday night is going to be.
Yeah, it feels, I don't know about you, it feels like forever since we've played them.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to just to see how we match up against them.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe they're still going on this clip, you know, but
yeah.
Anyways.
And we'll get to see Brad Marchand wearing the C.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be,
I guess, wait.
Hopefully he won't, or I don't really care personally, but if he'll have any antics, should see, I don't know. Mm-hmm. As a captain, if he's still doing that kind of stuff, we'll see what happens. And then the Hall of Fame game is always special because you always have the, alumni and I guess players that are in the history of the league basically attending that game. So that's going to be great as well. Yeah. So after the homestand, the Leafs actually have a few days off before heading off to Sweden in the NHL Global Series. And we're going to be there too. So don't forget to hit that subscribe and follow button wherever you listen to our show and on social media, YouTube, X, formerly Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. Our handle is at LTL1917, and you won't miss any of our road trip reports from Sweden. Also, a reminder to be sure to leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leafs content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah, and thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
We thank you as always for listening and watching Ladies Talking Leafs presented by Bet Online. So till next time, go Leafs, go.
Leafs, go.